welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the Golden Age of Radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and coming up in this hour, adventure. Later on, a nautical drama with the voyage of the Scarlet Queen, but right now it's time for love. That's the name of this broadcast featuring Robert Reddick and Marlena Dietrich from 1953.
It's time for love with Marlena Dietrich.
Coming, darling.
I'll be there in the morning.
Oh, Michael.
Will you meet me at the airport?
Oh, yes, yes.
I'll either be on the 917 or the 927.
I'll be waiting there.
How are they treating you at the club?
Oh, everybody has been wonderful to me.
Oh, they better be.
Oh, I have to go, darling. I have to sing in 5 minutes.
Oh, I wish I could go there to hear you sing.
Even if I didn't have to sing.
Mr. Holter?
Yes?
Permit me. I am Police Lieutenant Giro.
Oh, yes. I've seen you here at the club every night this week.
To hear you sing.
Thank you.
I am sorry your engagement ends tonight.
I'll be back in 6 weeks.
I shall reserve a table.
You're very kind, Lieutenant.
Will you be kind and have supper with me?
Oh, thank you, but I really can't.
No. I shall be disappointed if you refuse.
Oh, I must. I have to be at the airport first thing in the morning.
You're not leaving.
No. I'm meeting someone.
I shall be there myself, but...
Then I may see you. Good night, Lieutenant. And thank you again.
Good morning, Mademoiselle Volta.
Lieutenant?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Oh, you're not offended about last night?
I created a picture in my mind having supper with you, and you shattered my picture. I was a fool, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the 970 plane from Paris?
Yes. Is your friend on it?
Yes. Oh, if not, he'll be on the 927.
Do you see your friend?
No, he doesn't seem to be on that plane.
No? You seem to be interested in someone.
Yes, the gentleman in the white suit.
Ah, yes.
A very old friend of mine.
Carl Brodin, a foreign diplomat.
Yes, I haven't seen him for years. Oh, excuse me, Lieutenant.
Very interesting.
Carl?
What?
Carl, oh. Don't you know me? It is so long ago.
Dion, my... Dear, forgive me my rudeness. I...
Carl, something wrong?
No, nothing is...
What happened?
Some maniac threw a bomb. This way, Dion. Pardon.
Why don't you look where you are going?
I'm sorry, sir.
Foreign fool.
A little more room to breathe in. Are you all right, Dion?
Yes, Carl.
Mademoiselle? Oh, mademoiselle.
Lieutenant?
You will please come with me?
Go with you? Where?
Police headquarters. You are under arrest.
Arrest? For what?
As if you do not know. You may go, mademoiselle.
After an explanation, Lieutenant.
Just go.
I was arrested, brought here to police headquarters. A matron searched me. What did she expect to find?
I apologize for the moment. Please leave with your friend.
Come, my dear.
Carl, this is utterly ridiculous.
No use to argue with the police. They specialize in mysteries. Come, I will take you to your hotel.
Oh, Michael.
I was told at the airport, darling. I went to police headquarters. You'd left. I came here.
Did they tell you anything at the police station?
Yes. It might be safer if I didn't tell you.
I have to know.
Brodin was carrying a set of engraving plates when he landed here.
Engraving plates?
For making counterfeit money. Counterfeit American dollars. A plan to wreck the economy of North Africa.
Oh, no, Michael.
Yeah, that's the story I got.
Carl Brodin, a common criminal? Dealing in counterfeit money?
An agent for his government.
Awful.
It was known he'd contact someone here when he landed. Pass the plates to someone. You contacted him. You were suspected.
Oh, I see.
The bomb scare was part of a plan to create confusion. Now, during the confusion, Brodin passed the plates.
Michael?
Hmm?
A man bumped into Carl. He was insulting.
Oh?
Wait. A man with a long face, sunken eyes. He looked sick.
Could be he was the contact man.
Oh, I hate to think of Carl being mixed up with something like this. And he was our friend during the last war.
The last war? Who remembers that? Are you seeing him again?
I don't know. He seemed so lonely.
And asked you to have dinner with him.
Would you mind very much, darling?
I mind you getting mixed up with characters like that.
Oh, Michael, he's a gentleman. He doesn't belong in this kind of thing. If I could find some way to change him back, to bring him back to what I knew he was.
Look, this fellow's no amateur. He's a top-level foreign agent working for a very unfriendly government.
I know.
Just one thing, then.
All right, Michael.
You still don't know why you were arrested. Okay?
I remember. And Michael, do you know you haven't really kissed me yet?
Your dress is beautiful, Diane, and very revealing.
Exquisite.
Charming as always, Carl.
A diplomat has to be.
Must he also embarrass?
There's a time even for that.
How long are you staying in Africa?
Oh, some time. I've rented a villa.
In town? Along the coast?
Mm-hmm. Out at El Sidi.
Oh, how lovely. Are you near the ocean?
I'm overlooking it.
When do you plan to move out there?
As soon as I find servants. The place is empty at the moment. It's a beautiful place. Dusty rose color, flower gardens, palms, cypress trees, terraces. Oh, you must see it.
Tonight? Why not tonight?
Oh, my dear.
We might even go moonlight bathing.
I'm chanting.
The most beautiful part of the Mediterranean, Carl.
Never more lovely than now. This key is supposed to fit this door. My dear.
Ooh, what a beautiful hallway. Mm-hmm.
25 rooms. Pick one out. Call it your own.
This one, Carl.
It's yours. Hurry and change into your swimming suit. I'll meet you outside on the terrace. Lonely down here on the beach, huh?
Secluded.
You and I, alone in the world. Do you mind?
Would I have come?
You're so very lovely.
Oh, I want to swim. Come along, Carl.
Behind you,
oh,
my dear.
Henry.
I enjoy swimming underwater. Silly, but it fascinates me.
To frighten someone.
Part of the fascination.
Carl, you sound strange. Unlike you.
We change with the changing times.
That was wonderful. Here, let me take off my cap.
Let me do it. Pale golden hair, like moonbeams.
You're very charming, Carl.
It's getting chilly. Put your robe on, huh?
Thank you. Oh, where are my cigarettes?
I have some.
No, I have a special brand. You know my voice. I have to be careful.
You left them in your room. I'll fetch them.
No. I know just where they are. I'll only be a moment. Five precious minutes. A machine to print money. A printing press. Where? Upstairs? No. Down in the basement. The cellar. Stairway. Leading down.
I heard someone. I thought some intruder, someone hiding in the house. What were you doing down here?
Oh, exploring. I couldn't resist. I wanted to look around the house. But, Michael, what I can't understand. I was down there not more than a minute and he followed me. Why did he follow me into that house last night?
Because, my sweetie, suspected you.
No, I don't think he suspected me.
Darling, do you still want to reform him?
Reform?
Bring him over to our side.
It could happen.
For him to betray his government?
That regime?
Now, look, keep out of this. This fellow is not the one you knew in the old days. He's suffering from a slow poison.
I'm having lunch with him. I'll have to go.
The garden square, sidewalk cafe. Like a little bit of Paris.
Paris. Paris is joy and tenderness. Not a place.
Then I am in Paris. North Africa. Oh, waiter.
Monsieur. Madame. You are ready to order.
Yes, I think so. Let me see the menu. Waiter, what about some arugula salad?
Mixed with a little tuna.
Perfect combination.
Madame.
The same.
And wine, monsieur. Pomade, 45.
What else?
Yes, monsieur.
Your beautiful eyes were tired a while ago. Now they sparkle.
Mm-hmm, I would.
There's so much I wish I could say.
Is there, Carl?
Things that don't belong to this new world of rat politics and group consciousness.
What has happened to you, Carl?
I'm older. I've lost my desire to fight. Call it that.
Waiter, the check, please.
All ready for you, monsieur.
Oh, I have rather a large bill.
No trouble, monsieur. I can change it.
Fine.
Money these days, inflation. But what can you do?
Why even try to do anything?
Monsieur, your change, if you please.
Thank you. The food and service were excellent.
Monsieur, madame, thank you.
Diane, do you wish to leave?
If you like. But I just want to go and powder my face.
Of course. I'll smoke another cigarette.
Michael, listen to me.
Tell me, where are you?
At the Café Toulon. Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Michael, I believe Carl Brodin just passed some counterfeit money to the waiter. The same man he bumped into at the airport.
Counterfeit money?
Yes, between some French bills.
Diane, are you sure?
Almost. It might have been an impression, only...
Angel, this is something we've got to know for sure.
I know.
Look, when are you leaving there?
In a few minutes.
You passed the Casbah on the way back?
Yes.
Siesta time, nobody much around. Do you remember where Racine's coffee house is?
Yes, near the Vicolo Pietro.
Right. Now listen. You get in the car and start driving towards the Casbah. Tell him to drive slowly, and then when you get...
The dark doorways, the darker alleyways. Beyond them, the stone jungle called the Casbah.
Depressing neighborhood.
Have you ever been into it?
Once or twice. Oh, Carl, stop the car.
Stop?
Oh, yes, please.
What is it?
Over there, near that alleyway. Do you see? There's a man lying there.
Drunk?
No, no, he might be hurt.
I doubt it.
Oh, Carl, please go and see if he's all right.
If you insist.
Thank you.
You there. On the ground. Are you all right?
Sleep, brought in sleep. Your wallet, that's all I want. Oh, there you are, Dion. I was making myself at home.
Oh, Michael.
How'd you manage with your boyfriend?
I drove him to his hotel. The manager called a doctor.
That fellow's a glass jaw. I only tapped him.
You don't know your own strength, Michael.
Here. Look at these bills, Dion.
Counterfeit?
And good ones.
So it is true.
Just imagine a few million of these in circulation.
A waiter at the Café Toulon passed them to Bodine.
Oh?
The waiter was the man I saw at the airport.
I think this is where the police move into the picture. Would you allow me to use your phone, my love?
You must forgive me, mademoiselle.
Please, Lieutenant.
Cognac, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
What about this waiter?
From mademoiselle's description, he is a man named Fenwick. Charles Fenwick. He came here with his wife from Paris. She left him.
Oh, why?
Ran off with another man.
I suppose that made him bitter.
Lieutenant, do you think this fellow Brodin suspects Dion with his getting slogged and losing his wallet?
He is a clever operator. He may suspect.
Are you going to pick up the waiter?
No. Even this counterfeit money offers me no conclusive evidence against him. The most I can do is place him under surveillance.
In the meantime, they turn out counterfeit money.
The law is often inadequate.
I know.
Mademoiselle, again, forgive me.
Being arrested was an experience.
An unpleasant one. Well, good day to you both.
Good day, Lieutenant. Conclusive evidence they want.
I suppose it's all up to the police now.
The Café Toulon closes about 11.
Michael?
I may just be around when that waiter leaves work.
Michael, please.
And this is where you get off the bus.
No, Michael, I'm going with you.
Well, there's the café across the square.
Yes.
We just wait here.
Suppose the waiter refuses to be bluffed.
He might.
Oh, it's so peaceful here, Michael.
The side door of the cafe. Look, is that him?
Yes.
Wait here.
Be careful, darling.
That's all, Fenwick.
Matt?
You're under arrest.
For what?
Passing counterfeit money.
You're crazy.
You've got one chance to save your hide. Get in that car. Take me to where the money is being made.
You've got nothing on me. You are not even a cop. Where is your warrant?
What do you care about warrants?
Let go of me.
You want to get tough. Come on, walk.
You can prove nothing.
Michael! Michael, look out, that car! Michael!
I'm all right, darling, but he's not.
Oh, they tried to kill me. After all I've done for them, they tried to kill me. Scared I was going to talk.
Help me into the car with
him. All right.
Get me to a doctor. Don't let me die.
We'll get you a doctor. Police headquarters. You can talk there. How is he?
Unconscious.
Did you get a good look at that car?
Yes. Carl Brodin was in the back of it.
Well, he's on to you then. He must have followed us.
I suppose so.
Look, we'll pass your hotel in a couple of seconds. I'll drop you off there.
All right.
Go to your room. Lock the door.
I will, Michael.
Yeah. Okay, here we are. I'll call you from headquarters.
Yes, all right, darling.
Come on, my dear. Get
Carl!
Come.
Carl. Always at her best at night.
Where are we going, Carl?
You know.
The villa?
So you became a spy.
No, Carl, I did not.
Your singing is simply the cover you work under.
No.
Yet you meddled.
I had to.
Because you are a spy. Nothing has changed since last night. Just you, Diane, and I in our loneliness. Strange how tragic your pale beauty seemed in the starlight. Come, Diane. The swimming suit is still here.
I don't want to go swimming tonight.
My dear, last night your whim, tonight mine. Come. Go into the house. Your room, you know where it is. There you are, my dear. Hurry and change. I'll meet you outside. Hand in hand, plunging into the Mediterranean. That's the age we live in.
You intend to drown me.
It'll be over very quickly. The sea, not I, will drown you.
Of course. The sea will be guilty. You say an insane lie as if it were the truth. Let me go.
People like you must be destroyed.
No.
No use to run. Come. One more look at you. What a shame it has to end this
way.
Don't think of trying to swim ashore.
Listen to me. You were sent here on a mission. You failed. Your government does not forgive failure.
No. So you destroy my career, too. Reason enough for me to do away with you.
Michael! Oh, Michael!
Shivering, Diane. Let me hold you closer.
I'm all right, Michael. When are we going to leave here?
As soon as you feel better, you can get rest and we'll go.
Yes, that is a good idea.
Lieutenant?
Emerson?
The lieutenant is a very good shot.
The lieutenant? Oh. Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't you, Michael.
Broden is dead.
How did you get here? How did you know?
I called you when I got to headquarters. No answer. We drove to your hotel. A bellboy thought he saw you get into a car with a man. We played a hunch and came on out here.
Well, we'll let Mademoiselle dress now. Then you two can go back to town. I will wait here for my man.
Yes, yes, I want to get away from here.
The waiter talked plenty. The printing machine is in the basement of the Café Toulon. The internal security boys were raiding the place when we came out this way.
Michael, will you please stop the car?
What is it, baby? Are you cold?
Yes, I'm cold. Do you remember what you offered me before in the villa? Take me in your arms. Thank you, Michael. That's better.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Time for Love, on Tuned to Yesterday from 1953 on CBS. Though not featured in any motion pictures in that year, Marlena Dietrich was seen in the circus. She served as ringmistress at a cerebral palsy benefit in Madison Square Garden in April of that year. Even Gypsy Rose Lee showed up riding an elephant. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's time for Elliot Lewis, joined by wife Kathy, in this episode, The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen. This first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on August 28, 1947. It's the tale of the barefoot nymph and the Mother Hubbard jacket.
Log entry, The Catch Scarlet Queen, Philip Kearny, Master. Position, 120 degrees, 29 minutes east, 14 degrees north. Wind light, sky overcast. Remarks, departed port of Manila, 9 a.m. after canceling shore leave for crew. Reason for unscheduled departure, the barefoot nymph and the Mother Hubbard jacket. Days out of Swatow, China, that we raised the island of Luzon on the eastern horizon and stood in toward Manila. I swung the Scarlet Queen a little north of her course, and we passed close under the rocks of Corregidor. Every eye on our decks was turned toward the squat fortifications for a minute. By this time, they were covered with jungle growth again and were loudly silent, in the manner of monuments that hold the stories of men who made them monuments. Beyond the island, we could see the steaming mass of Bataan, and we swung back into Manila Bay. Manila should have been a friendly, relaxing port for all of us. It meant a break in our voyage under charter to Kangensun. To my crewmen, it meant the longest shore leave they'd had since we left San Francisco, and girls who knew what that meant to American seamen. To my chief mate, Gallagher, it was like a home state picnic. The harbor was jammed with freighters and tankers from the States. That meant that the Balanga Street bars were jammed with their crews. And that meant that Gallagher was jammed in with them, running into old friends and making new ones. Manila should have been a holiday. And it was, for 3 days and two nights. At 10 o'clock the third night, I was in the cabin alone, thumbing through the latest hydrographic bulletin I'd been able to find in town, when I heard somebody running down the dock toward the Queen. Red! What's the matter? Her husband show up? What's up, Red?
Never mind.
Come on, calm down. What's the automatic for?
Lay off with her, Skipper.
Come on, give it to me, Red.
Get away from me, Skipper.
You're off your nut. What happened? Who'd you kill, the president?
I might if he gets in the way.
Gallagher! Wild-eyed mate and an automatic loose in Manila, there wasn't much time for the hydrographic bulletin. I closed it, locked my desk, and went out after him.
The Scarlet Queen, proudest ship to plow the seas, bound for uncharted adventure. Every week, a complete entry in the log, and every week, a league further in the strange voyage of the Scarlet Queen.
Gallagher is being pushed by temper or is in a hurry. He walks as though he's working up against the incline of a pitching deck in a storm. His body bends forward from a point almost as low as his feet. His shoulders pull up protectively on each side of his head, and his arms barely swing in short arcs. I followed him up to Butanes Street, across the railroad tracks, through the park on Ambil and Dewey Boulevard, and to the left on Balanga. We passed three bars. I could hear the fourth from a half a block away. The dimly lighted sign that hung outside said Victory Cabaret. But judging from the din of battle that poured out at us as we approached, somebody had been a little premature in naming it. The remaining activity was going on in the center of what was left of a large bar room. I lost Red for a minute, but then I found him in the center of the room.
Hey, Red!
I lost him again. Then I saw him heading toward a door at the rear of the room. Red!
Red, wait for me!
Hey, look, watch
it,
will you? Here you go. He'd stopped at another door, halfway down a long, dimly lit hall by the time I caught up with him. He opened it. The room was furnished with a broken window, a woman who looked like Miss America, and a man who should have been in a morgue instead of sprawled on his face where he was.
You frightened me. I didn't know who you
what
were.
What happened to him?
I don't know who did it. Somebody came in right after you left, and I tried to hide. Then the window broke, and I heard the shot. That's all it was.
Who is he, Red?
Cliff Peterson. He sailed on me as bosun last year.
Huh? What's the beef?
It started over Lona here, but it wasn't her fault. She was here with Peterson, and this drunk started pawing her, and Peterson poked him. That's where it started. Who was that guy, Lona? You know him?
I met him, yes. His name's Mason Ralph or something like that. But I don't know him. I don't know why he picked on me. I don't know why he picked... I'm not sure he's the one that killed Peterson, but who else could it have been?
He was wearing a gun. He started to pull it after Pete slugged him.
How'd you get mixed up in this, Red?
Because he pulled that gun. That's when I slugged him. And that's when he took a shot at me, and that's when I got sore.
Yeah, okay. Now you've collected a shiner and a split lip. You've had a fine night. Now it's time for bed. Come on, let's go.
Red, please. You promised me you'd help me out of this.
What?
I'm afraid to leave here alone. I don't know where that Mason is or anything. The whole thing's so crazy. I'm just scared to death.
Look, Skipper, take her home, will you?
Why me?
I didn't ask you to tag along, did I? But now that you're here, do something. I want to stick with Pete till I can get word to his ship. I hope somebody's around to do the same thing for me sometime.
At this rate, it won't be long.
Thanks, Skipper. Well, you want to fight your way out through the bar, or would a nice broken back window in a quiet alley do?
It was easier getting out than it had been coming in. I slipped out first. I crunched onto the glass, the window glass on the ground. I waited quietly for a minute to see if the noise had raised anybody. I gave the alley a quick once over. There was nobody in sight. But just as I started to turn back to the building, I caught a glitter of metal in the light from the window. It was a small nickel-plated revolver lying on the other side of the alley. Now, if the gunman had tossed it there, it was all right with me. I left it for the cops. Lona followed me out, and in 5 minutes, we were in one of Manila's prized two-wheeled horse-drawn rigs, and we were headed for her address.
I wonder what's going to happen.
The law is going to show up, and they're going to start scattering the bones. What usually happens with murder.
I'm so scared, I don't know what to do.
Oh, come on. Calm down. You're a beautiful dame, and a couple of guys started fighting over you. In fact, the whole joint finally was. You're just living in the wrong century, that's all. Women thrived on that kind of stuff a few hundred years ago.
I suppose the police will get my name, won't they?
Well, you'll be lucky if they don't.
Oh, dear. That'll mean my job. It all started out to be an evening of just fun.
Look, Lona, I don't feel quite as sorry for you as you do. I'll tell you why. Maybe it'll help you. It started out to be an evening of just fun for Peterson, too, didn't it?
I'm sorry, Skip.
All right. Now, is there something else you'd like to talk about?
No, I guess you said everything.
The rest of the trip was not comfortable, but it was silent. The direction surprised me only a little, but her address when we finally reached it was as far removed as Manhattan's Beekman Place from the Victory Cabaret. In class, if not in miles. It was a graceful mansion set behind a well-tended lawn that was made precisely irregular by a few neat garden plots, made primly informal by a number of mango and papaya trees that threw cautious shadows in the faint moonlight.
Aren't you going to let me out?
Yeah, if you're sure this is the right address.
Do you want to come in?
No, thanks. I'm confused enough out here.
You're a refreshing guy, Skipper.
Huh?
The helpless dame and there are no passes or anything. Nothing but a brotherly remark about my being beautiful.
Yeah, I'm always shy with women I take away from dead men.
You kicked me all the way up from Belanger Street. I guess you just had to kick me into the house, didn't you? Good night, Skipper. Thanks.
Good night, Lona. Hey, Cachero. Back to the Victory Cabaret, Belanger Street. I paid my Cachero off and headed into the Victory Cabaret. The only person in sight was a hefty, barrel-waisted bartender who was pushing a broom at the litter on the floor.
Keep your pay in your pocket, mate. I ain't open for business.
Yes, so I see. What happened?
What happened? Well, I'll tell you. It was no more than a friendly little scuffle.
Yeah, looks it.
A few of the hands from a few of the ships comes ashore for a good time.
The cops get here?
And it cost me a few $1,000. But somebody's got to keep up the morale in the Merchant Marine. A nice bunch of boys.
The cops. Couldn't they help you?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Anybody killed?
So I hear. One outright and a half a dozen they wasn't quite sure of. You missing any friends?
Yeah, one. Big red-headed guy wearing a jumper with the sleeves rolled up, tattooing on his arms.
With a name like Gallagher. He's a friend of yours, you say?
Yeah, why?
You better be careful who you admit it to. They got him booked for murder.
They're nuts.
Oh, I don't know. A fellow was shot in one of my rooms back there. When they sneaked up on this Gallagher, he was outside the window with a gun that done the shooting still in his hand.
They're nuts. I saw that gun lying out there in the alley myself. I can prove Gallagher didn't kill him.
Huh. That story, you better find another port. While we're on the subject of moving, get out of here, will you? I lost enough friends in the force tonight.
I walked out of the door 10 steps up the sidewalk. And then 5 steps back. I watched the bartender pick up the telephone. This time I took a cab to Lona's address. I wondered what she'd say now about involving her name when it was to clear red. I had a few answers for that. And I was working on a few things to say to Gallagher for standing there in that alley with the murder weapon in his hand when we pulled up in front of the house. By the time I reached the door, I knew it was no good. It was 1 a.m., but I had a hunch that for Lona, the day hadn't ended.
Well, Skipper.
I hope it isn't too late.
It never is at my house. Come on in.
She had a sort of breathless expression when she talked to me. The corners of her mouth were drawn up slightly into a bare trace of a smile. Her lips were always separated, just a little. Her eyes were warm and brown.
In here.
She led me through a short hall and down 3 steps into a large, carelessly furnished room. She was dressed in a hostess gown of some light, clinging material.
Come on, through here.
Her hair went with her eyes, and it hung just short of shoulder length. And her feet were bare. We crossed the room,
well,
went into a den that had a tile floor, low, wide bamboo furniture, wide screened windows that looked out onto a side garden.
This is my favorite room. Do you like it?
Yeah, great.
I don't think you really like rooms. Some men don't. Sit down. No, not there.
Hmm?
You'll see my abstractions. I paint a little. Over here on the shelf. Here. Have you been drinking, or shall I mix one for you?
I haven't been drinking, and I'd like one.
All right.
How'd you know I'd be back?
Because I asked you.
I didn't hear you.
I didn't ask you with words. I asked you with me.
Oh. You're an amazing little creature.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Hmm? Changed so many times tonight, but I can't stay abreast of it.
I change all the time, so I won't become monotonous. That's the only way I can stand myself. Which one of me do you like the best?
This one. Barefooted. With your hair down.
I was brushing my hair when you rang the bell. I don't think many women do, but I love my hair. So soft. Feel it.
Where do you come from?
Every place. Do that with my hair some more. What's your other name besides Skipper, I mean?
Phil.
Huh.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing, darling. Glass just rolled off and broke. For a minute, I didn't know what it was. Listen. That sound will be this night, even when I'm old. Your nice, tanned face and your blue eyes and your strong hands. You think I'm beautiful, don't you?
I think you're beautiful.
Good to be with someone who thinks you're beautiful. Tell me.
Beautiful.
Yes, I know. Darling, Phil, I'm so happy. It's so good to be beautiful with you.
Maybe it would have been different if I hadn't been afraid of her, or if I hadn't been convinced that everything she said or did had purpose. Or if I hadn't known that each of us was waiting for the other to bring up the subject of Gallagher's arrest. But there was no doubt about one thing. And it was hard to keep it from overshadowing anything else. As she repeatedly stated, as she loved to state, as she loved to hear me repeatedly state, she was beautiful. From any measurement or any comparison, she was beautiful. But even she dropped the subject after a while.
Make mine weaker than yours, will you, Phil?
Let's put it the other way. I'll make mine stronger than yours.
It makes you happier that way. I'm willing.
Mm. Oh. Better get this glass off the deck unless you expect me to carry you around the rest of the night.
How long are you going to be in Manila, Skipper?
Oh, I don't know.
I wish it was going to be for a long time.
Yeah, it might be.
Phil, listen to me. I've got to say this. You've got to know I mean it.
Mm.
It happens, but it never happened to me, and now I think it could. I could fall in love. Don't laugh at me.
Don't joke.
I'm not joking. For the first time in my life, I think it could happen.
I'm sure you mean that as a great compliment. But somehow it doesn't hit me.
Oh, Phil, why are you acting like this?
Because I don't believe you. As
I've never had any reason to believe you, because I've gotten nothing but lies from you ever since I met you.
But I'm not lying. Why are you treating me like this?
What other way is there? You're a great little animal to have around the house, but you're only safe when you're out in front where somebody can watch you.
All right, Phil. Maybe you know what you're trying to say.
So do you. For one thing, you killed Peterson.
I did not.
You were lying, man. You said he was shot from outside the window, and he wasn't. He was shot by somebody inside the room. You were the only one there.
I didn't kill him.
Now, don't think I haven't enjoyed your so alluring hospitality. But the smiling, spontaneous welcome I got at the door doesn't hold water. Because I'll bet you my ship that you knew I was on the prowl and probably heading this way 40 minutes before I got here, and you heard it from the bartender at the Victory Cabaret. I saw him go to the phone. What are you supposed to do, hold me here? And for why?
What do you want, Phil?
I want my chief mate. I'll trade you or anybody else in on him.
Oh, Phil, why did you wait? If you suspected these things, why did you go through with the sham of liking?
All I want is my chief mate. If you don't start doing something about it, I will.
All right, Phil. I have to make a couple of calls. The phone's in the other room. You carry me.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. It was the deal, wasn't it?
I wonder why it had to be this way, Phil.
I don't know. I don't know what your game is, and I don't care, but you were in it before I was.
Phil, Red was only a coincidence. Really, he was.
Huh?
He just happened to know Cliff Peterson and sit down with us. And then the stupid redhead, he had to go out the window and find that gun and be standing there when the police showed up. So then Delkey had the brainstorm and twisted
the
story.
Who's Delkey, the bartender?
Yes, he told the cops that Gallagher instead of Mason had made the pass at me. That started the whole thing. And he went after Peter.
Yeah. All right, here's your phone.
Do you believe me, Phil?
How in the devil should I know when to believe you and when not to? I told you I don't care. All I want is my chief mate. When I get him, I'll believe anything.
Gallagher was just supposed to stall things until Mason could get back to the States. He was leaving in the morning. I was supposed to hold you until his ship...
All right, fine. Let him find somebody else for a stall. Who are you going to start with, the chief of police?
I'm afraid the police think even less of me than you do. We have to settle this between Ralph Mason and Delkey and myself.
You're going to bring him out here?
Where else?
Looks like I'm going to be outnumbered, doesn't it? I stood by her when she made her calls, and as far as I could figure, they were straight. Just strong invitations to get to the house as quickly as possible. Then she made a typical exit into another part of the house, and I went back to the den. I thought the least I could do was to get rid of the jagged edges of our brief and hypocritical romance, so I got a bar towel and pushed the broken glass under the couch. When she came in, she'd gone through another complete change. She was dressed like her front lawn, primly. Informal in beige slacks, topped by an overmodest jacket buttoned high around her throat and hanging loosely like a Mother Hubbard to her waist.
It shouldn't be long, Phil. Maybe we could have a neat one while we wait.
Yeah, sure, sit down. Incidentally, I don't like your new character.
It's all right for the time of night, isn't it?
I guess so.
I think I ought to warn you, Phil. Mason is dangerous. He'll try to buy you off first.
Buy me off of what?
He'll try to talk you into... Do you want to go to the door with me? Or do you trust me enough to let me meet them?
I can't think of anybody I ever trusted less. Go ahead.
Captain Carney, this is Ralph Mason, and I believe you said that you'd met Mr. Delkey.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, Carney?
My chief mate. I want him out of jail. I got enough on that mess in the Victory Cabaret to tell a pretty good story.
It's a pretty good story the way it stands.
Cops like it.
They won't by the time I get through with it. Just one thing. The glass from that window that was supposed to have been broken from the outside. None of it's inside the room where it should be.
You think that's enough?
Since they arrested Gallagher, standing on the outside looking in, it might be. Even Manila cops should change their mind on that one.
The story could wait, couldn't it?
Not the way I see it, no.
Use your head, mate.
Don't be rude.
What's your price, Connie, to leave your mate in the jug until we're clear of this? With the truth, you can get him out any time.
It's pretty high. I'm leaving tomorrow.
I'll start with $15,000.
I don't think you can go high enough, Mason. You might as well quit. All I need is a patsy, and I don't care who it is.
May I say something, Ralph? I don't quite see why we have to bargain with Captain Carney. You didn't hesitate about Peterson after his double cross, Ralph. Now Captain Carney is in the way.
When you hate real good, don't you?
It's business, Captain. I used such bad judgment when I offered to let you join our little organization.
Your what?
What are you talking about?
Captain Carney has a ship that would fit into our inter-island work. I'm so afraid I made a mistake. I explained the type of contraband that was coming in from the States, the prices we were getting for it, and how there were opportunities for a man like him. I'm so sorry. He led me to believe that he was interested.
You're a sucker for men, Lorna. You found Peterson, too. That cost us $30,000 worth of stateside liquor and 3 months to get it over here. Peterson sold it on his own.
Not quite on his own, Ralph. He didn't have any contacts here.
Who was in with him?
Well, I was his very best friend in Manila.
Why, you dirty...
Mason shoved his chair out of the way behind him as he got up and started reaching inside his coat for a shoulder holster. That's when the Mother Hubbard jacket lifted a little on the right side and Lona's manicured hand pulled a belly gun from the waistband of her slack. It spoke twice, quickly and effectively, and Mason stiffened, and his right hand stopped an inch away from his gun butt, and he toppled slowly backward across his overturned chair.
Delkey, don't ask one question. I have this all worked out.
But Lona...
You can solve the murder in your cabaret. You take Mason down to the police. Tell them the story of how the glass is on the wrong side of the window. You tell them you captured Mason single-handed and you'll gain a whole lot of new customers.
Well, they believe me, Lorna.
It's the truth, isn't it? And here's the gun you captured him with to prove it. Now get him out of here. Good heavens, look at that floor. I wonder what this all meant, Phil.
Hmm? Oh, what, Lorna?
This thing we lived through. It's been important, hasn't it?
Yeah, slightly. Two guys didn't make it.
Oh, that isn't what I mean. We did move everything and make this little room the center of the world, didn't we?
I wish I knew what you meant.
You wonder if I'm still in love with you, don't you?
Handedly, by this time, I don't know what I wonder.
I could be, Phil. I'm afraid it's impractical. If you'll just hold me, just once more. Tell me once more.
You're beautiful, Lorna.
And I'll always remember the glasses, Phil. It's getting late. You'll have to go.
Well, couldn't we have one more drink?
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare. I've got to put my hair in braid and straighten the house up. My husband is coming home
Your
in
husband?
The morning. And he worries so about me, I have to have everything just
Your husband?
So.
Where is he?
Oh, he has gold mines in Mindoro. He's much older than I am. But he's rich. He allows me to stay here in Manila with my hobbies. Goodbye, Captain Carney.
That morning, Gallagher had been released. I'd rounded up the rest of my men and we slipped away from our berth and headed out through Manila Bay. We picked up a moist, hot wind at the mouth.
Stand by to make sail!
And the exhausted crew stumbled to their stations, every man bare to the waist and glistening wet.
With port sheets, make sail!
Even the mainsail looked tired as it struggled up the mainmast and reached hopefully out for a pulling breeze.
To the jib-sheets, men! Smart we now!
They didn't move smartly, but the jibs crawled out. Then the mizzen boom swung sullenly over my head. And the Queen rolled slowly down toward Verde Island Passage, the Sabuyan Sea beyond.
Well, I had a good rest last night, but it looks like I'm the only one aboard that did.
Oh, lay off.
Look at that crew. It's a disgrace. I'm half a mind to turn them all to holy stone in the deck from bow to stern.
Take over, will you, Red?
Oh, not on your life. This is your watch, and I'm going to take my exercise. That Manila jail air is invigorating.
Now, lay off, will you, Red? Don't forget, I was sitting in the cabin with a hydrographic bulletin when you busted in.
Take it easy, Skipper. Go on below. I'll take your trick.
Ah, the devil you will. But just wait till you crawl aboard the next time. And don't think you haven't done it before. I'll hand you some sympathy.
What are my chances in the next port?
Fair, and I'll be waiting for you. It's Masbate.
Masbate?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that jail?
Nothing.
And before I take a nap,
huh?
What is your outstanding recollection of the capital of the Philippines?
Some broken glass I pushed under a bamboo couch. And I wonder what her husband's going to say.
It's funny you mention that, Skipper.
Yeah?
I met a husband in jail. He was in for murder.
Would he kill the wife?
No. The smooth-talking stranger. Drink, Skipper?
He killed the wrong one.
After you, mate. After you.
Entry, the Ketch Scarlet Queen, 5:30 p.m. Miles traveled from San Francisco, 9,450. Wind light, sky overcast, sea leaden. Carrying full sail, ship secure for night. Signed, Philip Kearney, Master.
The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen on Tuned to Yesterday from August 28, 1947 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And so ends this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.